A pastor wrote, "I remember visiting a nursery, looking for a certain type of tree for the front yard of the last parsonage in which we lived. While there, I saw a sign that said, 'The best time to plant a tree was 15 years ago.' The next line stated, 'The second best time is today.' Or how about this one? Judy rushed in to see her doctor, looking very much worried and all strung out. She rattles off, 'Doctor, take a look at me. When I woke up this morning, I looked at myself in the mirror and saw my hair all wiry and frazzled up. My skin was all wrinkled and pasty. My eyes were bloodshot and bugging out, and I had this corpse-like look on my face. What's wrong with me, doctor?' The doctor looks her over for a couple of moments, then calmly says, 'Well, I can tell you that there ain't nothing wrong with your eyesight.'" Turns out Judy's eyesight was quite good. If only human beings all had eyesight that good. Then we could tell just what was going on around us at any given moment. We'd know and could then make plans for how to cope with anything that posed problems and know how to come out the other side better than before. But why isn't this the case? Is there really something wrong with our eyesight? Very wrong, even. But not just us. Doesn't it seem like there's hardly anybody that really knows anything out there? Does everybody actually not have good eyesight at all? Why does it seem like practically all people make plans that are all for naught? That all their plans and projections and prognostications never turn out like people swore they would? What can explain all this? As I'm sure most all of you have heard, President Trump's one big, beautiful bill completed its passage through both houses of Congress on Thursday, July 3rd, and was signed into law by the president on Independence Day, July 4th, last Friday evening. However, depending on who you ask, actually you don't have to ask, media outlets are shouting at you unceasingly. Most are screaming at what a travesty it is. Some of the comments I read on Next Door Neighbor claim that America is now doomed. Only the rich benefit from this bill. The poor middle class will see their taxes raised. Social Security will be taxed. Medicaid is going to be cut, leaving millions without support, causing them to go hungry, get sick without any medical treatment, and die. It's the end of America, folks. We're all going to die. It's the end of the world. Well, as asinine as nearly all the posters on Next Door are, at least they are correct about one thing. We are all going to die. But what happens after that is vastly different, depending on whether one knows the truth that sets one free, the truth that transfers us into the kingdom of heaven, the truth that plants us into the very arms of Father God, where we will be safe and secure forever and ever and ever. If we know the truth, then we're good. If people don't know the truth, then, as the great prophet Isaiah ended his 66th chapter book, "For the ones who rebelled against God, their worm will not die, and their fire will never go out, and they will be abhorrent to humanity." For those of us who do know the truth, it's plain and obvious to see that there's truly something terribly wrong with our society. Even if we don't pay any attention at all to world affairs, we can see the huge numbers of our fellow Americans are certifiably insane. Except most all the ones who are supposedly qualified to do the certifying are themselves certifiable. Those who know the truth can see that among them are many, if not most, who are like Holy Spirit described in Isaiah, in full-on rebellion against God. They want to be who they want to be. And by the same token, many of them, again, maybe most, have no idea they are deceived. It's as the Christian commentator John Horvath II observed last Wednesday, the problem is that the left cannot return to its angry politics against the establishment because it is now that establishment. So we as Christians can only pray, literally as our Lord Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's truly a mental illness, but it is curable, but only if the afflicted want to be cured. The cure is quite simple and easy, as it turns out. It requires nothing more strenuous than picking up a Holy Bible and reading it. For this book is truth in written form, as ink forming letters on pages or pixels forming words on an electronic screen. Start reading this subversive text, and lo and behold, sight is gradually restored. It's, metaphorically speaking, not unlike the crusty substance that blinded Paul's eyes right after Lord Jesus interrupted his mission to Damascus to round up and arrest the followers of Lord Jesus in Acts 9. Actually, the Lord's blinding of Paul was both to emphasize how blind Paul truly was when he thought he was seeing and understanding so very clearly who Christ Jesus was and what terrorists his followers were. The blinding also forced Paul to follow the Lord Jesus' instructions to go to one of those very terrorists he'd intended to arrest in order to receive healing for his eyes. Not only was he a terrorist in Paul's eyes, he was also a Gentile. For God's sake, the upstanding Harvard-educated elite Pharisee Paul, nearly perfect in all his ways, or so he thought, would not only have to meet another man while in his humiliating 3 whole days blind state. This man was not even a Jew, but a Gentile. And this Gentile would actually have to touch Paul's body, lay hands on him, and pray, and then he would regain his sight. Paul, as a good Jew, should not have even extended interactions with any Gentile. But this all showed Paul that the power of God, that he himself had convinced himself that he was carrying, was actually resident and working in a Gentile by God's gifting, and would be the actual healing power that would heal Paul's eyes. Ananias laid hands on Paul, prayed, and the crusty substance that had protected Paul's eyes from the blinding, flaming glory of Lord Jesus now fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. He could again see the physical world. But even more importantly, he could now see the spiritual realities on which the entire physical world hung. From then on, Paul now began to understand all the scriptures. For as a Pharisee, he had memorized the entire Bible, the Old Testament. He now saw it saying things that he had never seen before. He had known all those words before, but now they literally came alive in his mind and heart, and he began to understand what they really meant, like he had never, ever seen them. God's plans were becoming visible to him as never before. This is what will happen to us more and more, and to all people who seriously study the Holy Book. And this only is what is necessary for people to be cured from their mental illnesses. Illnesses called by many names: liberalism, leftism, socialism, communism, intersectionalism, wokeism, etc. This book will clear up all of them. Its cure rate is 100%. Here in Isaiah 66, we see some broad prophetic outlines of history, that is, future history. In verses 7 and 8, we see the rebirth of Israel as a nation after nearly 2,000 years. In verses 10 through 13, we see the future prosperity of Israel, now called the startup nation, and of Jerusalem, the holy city, its capital. Then in 5 short verses, 14 through 18, we see the tribulation of the world at the Messiah's second coming. The second half of 18 to the end of the book shows how the Lord had scattered some of his people to the earth's far corners and how they will return to the promised land with their transportation even paid by Gentile nations, many by Christians, even this minute. We see the Lord describe offerings and worship on the Temple Mount. Just last month, a new policy enacted by the Israeli government now allows all Jewish visitors to the Temple Mount to openly pray, sing, and dance all across the entire Temple Mount for the first time in nearly 2,000 years. Wow. And here Isaiah prophesied it in verse 20. He then says that God will appoint some to be Levitical priests. And we know from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem's announcements that new priests have been trained, waiting to start at a moment's notice once the new third temple is built. Consider now, in just the last few days' time, how the tables have turned. How now Israel's position in the Middle East has changed. Israel is now the preeminent power in the Middle East. How muted will become the objections to Israel beginning construction of the third temple now. Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. Verse 22 speaks of the future even beyond our day. According to even just this one verse, for there are many more, Father God will create new heavens and a new earth. We know from Revelation that this will occur after King Jesus' millennial reign is completed, 1,000 plus years from now. And at that time, the terrifying abode of the rebellious dead will be openly visible to all who care to look. But heavenly bliss, peace, comfort, and love to all who hitched their lives to Christ Jesus. For even in a chapter of a book written over 2,700 years ago, more and more of God's plans are now becoming visible. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, that you are God. And thank you for your love, for having created us to love, to be loved. Help us to do your will, truly be your servants, until our time on this earth is through and we join you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.